Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, we are on location doing this together, something we don't normally get to do, but it's fun and for a good reason.
It's for a good reason. The CHL USA Top Prospects Challenge. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got two games to handle here, Adam. We're in Calgary now, getting the first leg of the two-game set in order. So have a chance to interview a lot of these top players, chat with them, talk about life, talk about hockey, their interests. So it's always a great time.
And we've gotten to interview a few of them. Today we're going to talk to Alessandro DiOrio and Beckham Edwards from the Sarnia Sting. What really always stands out to me about these kids is just how personable they are. There's no, you know, they come in, they're ready to have fun, they understand the assignment, they enjoy sort of talking about hockey, just like we enjoy talking about hockey.
Yeah, it is, because with the Sarnia kids, it's a lot of fun. We got the two of them together, you know, and we're talking about general things, about the team, about things that maybe they feel, for instance, morning skates compared to the evening skates. Who likes what better? Why would that player like the morning better than the evening? You know, just a lot of fun things to talk about with these kids. And look, for them to have a chance to be together, look, a lot of them are together in international events, but to come together as Team CHL and have an opportunity to play against the National Team Development Program under 18s is also, you have that kind of Canadian versus USA type flair, right, Adam? So that's always an interesting thing to kind of, interesting twist, I should say, that makes this game entertaining.
Well, what's really, to me, makes this game entertaining is just the quality of players that are here. I mean, you've got more than a dozen A-rated prospects for the 2026 NHL draft here. And you're seeing guys who are going to be the next iteration of NHL superstars, whether it's Ethan Belchez from Windsor, Ryan Lynn from Vancouver, you know, these two young men from Sarnia we're going to talk to. And you get to see, you know, you get a front row view, an early preview of the next NHL superstars.
Yeah, we have 14 A-rated CHL players here. We have 7 or 8 B-rated NTDP players. One, of course, that's an A-rated. But, yeah, I mean, there's tons of stars here, tons of players. Look, we're missing Gavin McKenna, right? Was at Medicine Hat last year. Maybe he would have been – obviously, he would have been here if he was still at Medicine, now at Penn State. You look at Keaton Verhoeff, another one, is at the University of North Dakota. He was in the Dub last year. So players that maybe would have been at this game that you might have wanted to see, they're in college right now, but there is tons of talent in this game. And you mentioned quite a few of them, Adam, and many of those players that we spoke to.
And including Alessandro DiOrio and Beckham Edwards from Sarnia. So let's hear what they have to say. Let's go to that interview. Alessandro DiOrio and Beckham Edwards from the Sarnia Sting, thank you for joining us on NHL Draft Class. And Alessandro, I'll start with you. You missed the early part of the season here with an injury, first 2 months of the season, actually. First game back, November 9th, you scored 2 goals, the overtime game winner. So now that you're healthy and obviously feeling good about your game, can you sort of take us through what the injury was, how it happened, and sort of how tough it was to kind of watch early in the season?
Yeah, so it started, we had a preseason game in Midland for a community event, and took an awkward hit, fell on the boards pretty awkwardly, and my arm was behind me and kind of just exploded, dislocated, fractured, and then headed up to the hospital in Midland, and they did a good job of putting it back into place, putting a cast on it, and then 3 weeks with the cast on, we went back home, did some rehab, took it off, get the range of motion back so I could get back on the ice with the boys and get back in starting and get going again.
For the two of you here, I know last year as rookies, you were recognized as the dynamic duo. I mean, that's what a lot of people were saying. So I want to know what was clicking so well during your rookie season. Alessandro, what makes Beckham the player he is? And Beckham, what makes Alessandro so easy to work with on the line? Let's start with Beckham.
Yeah, I think just playing with Dio is, you know, he's competitive. He likes to go for every puck. I think that's something that makes him, I think that's why he had so much success last year and continues to bring it this year. And I think just playing on a line with him, I think just, you know, he's always working hard and he's just super easy to play with. He gets to the right spots and he just makes it, you know, makes life easier for the people he's playing with.
And Alessandro, what makes Beckham the player he is?
Yeah, and just, you know, playing with each other internationally a bunch, you know, you kind of get used to each other with the chemistry. And again, his game matured going through last year and this year. And I think he had an amazing year, obviously scoring 25 goals last year. And again, he's always in the right spots, finding that sweet spot, and it's easy to get in the puck. And then when it's on a stick, it's off a stick. And then we're selling to the fans, which is nice.
All right, so let me ask you, Alessandro, when you're at your best, what do scouts like about you? Why are we talking about you as a first-round NHL draft pick? What do you do best with your game? And then, Beckham, sort of the same question to you.
Just my energy and my speed. Again, I like to go in the zone using speed. It makes it tough on defenders. And again, I like to use my vision to make the players around me better. And then when we're on the bench, just leadership, being sure everyone's on the same page and bringing everyone up.
Yeah, I like to say like competitiveness, you know, using my speed all over the ice, getting in on the forecheck hard, you know, tracking back hard as well, using my IQ to get in good spots in the rink, and then just using my shot in good areas, the quick release, getting it off around defenders and just fooling goalies.
So, Alessandro, so I read you're a big morning skate guy. Beckham, you prefer the evening practices, I read. So, Beckham, sell me on an evening practice over a morning skate, and then we'll get to Alessandro.
I mean, you don't have to wake up as early. I mean, sometimes I think that's a big thing. I think some, you know, especially in the summer, I think in the season it's a bit different, but in the summer when you're getting to the rink and you're on the ice at 7 in the morning, I think, you know, you're just a bit tired. You got your gloves are they're just crusty and stuff like that. And I think it's hard to, you know, be fully awake. I think it takes half the practice just to get fully, you know, fully into it. But I think when you're, you know, when you're in the evening, you're kind of had your whole day, the energy's high. You got a lot of food in you. You're just ready to go. You know, most of the time, you're with like kind of more guys because it's not as early. The energy gets up in the skate, and I think, you know, it's not 6 in the morning.
But also, the morning skates, man. You get up, get to the rink, get it done and over with, right?
Yeah, you get it over with. You go back to your house, get a nap in, and then you can get a workout too. You can do whatever you want. I think again, last year our schedule was like 7:30 workouts, which I did in the summer as well. So I think I was kind of used to it already. But I feel sometimes you wake up in the morning and you're just like, oh, my God, do I have to go to the rink today? But I love it. I'm sure Beckham loves it as well.
All right. So you guys have been teammates for a while off the ice. What do you like best about him, and what makes him maybe a little bit of a challenge sometimes? And Beckham, I'll say the same thing to you.
Yeah, he's just a little bit of a jokester. He's a great bowler too. So he got three strikes in a row, and he likes a sally, which gets annoying sometimes when you're on the other team. But if you're with him, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I think with Dio too, just like his energy that he brings to the rink every day, it just makes it fun to be around. And then some of the I think sometimes maybe his ping pong skills aren't always there. Definitely doesn't crack the leaderboard on our team. I'm not saying I'm very good either, but his ping pong skills, I don't know, it's not great.
All right, so I'd like the two of you to build for me the perfect NHL forward. To do this, I'll need each of you to think of two traits from two different players, mesh them together, and create the ultimate hockey forward. So two players, a trait from each of you.
I'll have to go Sidney Crosby IQ. Obviously one of the greatest players to ever play the game. I think it's hard to not take his hockey sense and put it into one of the players. And I think Ovechkin's shot, I think you match that with Crosby's IQ, I think that's pretty deadly. So again, the best goal scorer of all time, I think having those two attributes is pretty scary for a hockey player.
Alessandro?
Yeah, I'm going to go Kucherov's vision. I like watching him play, finds guys around the ice. And I'm going to go with McDavid's speed. It's a little bit generic, but again, he's the fastest player in the world, one of the best. So I'll go with those two.
So we're gonna play a little trivia called the $0 grand prize trivia. How well do you know your Sarnia Sting? So I got three questions for each of you. No. And by the way, I tested these questions on a Sarnia Sting alum. I'm not gonna tell you who he is because his name might come up in the trivia questions here. But he gave me the thumbs up of approval. So what I'll do is I'll ask each of you guys. We'll see who gets them. All right, who gets the most? Three questions. Number one. Sarnia has had two players go number one in the draft, twice, the NHL draft twice. Can you name either one of the players?
Stamkos and Yakupov.
Correct. You are both correct. All right, so wait a minute. So Beckham, hold on to that. Okay. All right. 12 players for Sarnia have had 100-point seasons. One is Stamkos. I'm not going to ask you to name the other 11. The other is a current NHL player. Can you name that player? And I'll give you a hint. He did it in the 2017-18 season.
I'll go with Kyrou.
Jordan Kyrou is correct.
Nice.
And Jordan, and actually, that's why I didn't want to say it. I talked to Jordan before I came up here, and he gave me the thumb of a thumbs up that this was these were good questions.
There you go.
All right,
that's great.
All right, this last one might be a little bit harder, but we'll give it a shot. This former Sarnia defenseman and former Sarnia assistant coach is the only rookie defenseman in NHL history with a hat trick in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Just go guess right now.
Just take a guess.
Chychrun.
Chychrun, all right.
Is he former Sting coach too?
He was an assistant coach for the Sting, and he was also a player for Sarnia. That would be Andy Delmore.
Yeah, I wouldn't know
Andy
that.
Andy Delmore. Yeah.
That's a tough one.
But yeah, you guys did well. You guys did well. You win the $0 grand prize.
The 2 for $3.
But Alessandro DiOrio, Becca Madridge, thank you so much for joining us on NHL Draft Class.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Great stuff there, Adam, from the Sarnia kids. It's always fun to speak to them and get to know more about what these kids are about, in their general setting with their teams, on the ice, off the ice. The thing that I was kind of interested in and knowing, and it was a great response, was, if you were to have or think of maybe some attributes from a particular NHL player that you could put together the perfect NHL player. And, obviously Beckham, Sidney Crosby's IQ, called him one of the greatest players of all time in the game. So obvious, he liked Ovechkin's shot. And the funny thing was, when I spoke to Beckham, off the podcast, he did tell me that he has an Ovechkin signed jersey. So that was kind of neat to learn that. And then, of course, Alessandro mentioned Kucherov's vision, loves that, and McDavid's speed, of course. It's all world. So I just think that's kind of interesting to learn what these players are looking at when it comes to how they want to maybe play the game at some point in their careers.
Yeah, and it's like, and again, at the end of the day, they're fans like us. So they have their favorite players just like we do. I was impressed how they did with the little trivia contest.
They did all right.
They did well. I was very impressed. It's fun getting teammates to talk about each other in a little bit more of a relaxed setting. We did it last year. If you want to go back and listen to the previous podcast, we did with Matthew Schaefer and Malcolm Spence when they were at the Erie last year. So, now we get to do it again with Alessandro DiOrio and Beckham Edwards. Fun times.
Yeah, it was. It was fun. And one of the things that we've been talking about, with some of the players, in fact, here, is the fact that obviously Gavin McKenna is not here. Keaton Verhoef is not here. And they've been two big talking points, right, Adam? In the early stages, you consider it a third of the way through the NCAA season. Gavin McKenna, who you've seen, you've been to Happy Valley, you've seen Penn State a few times. And look, McKenna's a point per game. He's putting in this season so far. I think, a lot of the people look at his play this year and are saying, well, maybe he should be scoring more. He's got 4 goals through his, I think it's 15, 16 games right now in the NCAA. But the fact that he's driving play, he's a third line player. I know he switches it up. He kind of scales the lineup. He'll go second top line. They've got some injuries now at Penn State that's also playing a part in that. But has Keaton Verhoef and maybe some of these other players done enough to actually claim or, be claimant to that number one spot right now? In my eyes, I don't think so. I don't think they have. I still think McKenna is the player at the top of the list just because of he just needs to maybe grow into the NCAA game a little more. We're not even halfway through the season. Give the kid a chance.
Absolutely. I don't understand the talk that, it's the expectations, right? Like, everyone expected him. He has 140 points or whatever it was last year in Medicine Hat. He's just going to carry that right into the NCAA. Let's remember, he's a 17-year-old kid playing against 21 and 22-year-olds who are older, more physically developed than he is. That's just a fact. And despite all of that, he's still averaging a point a game on a top 15 team in the NCAA. To me, that's impressive. Is it where you, general fan, public, even media person, thought he'd be? I don't think that matters. I think what matters is what he's doing. The expectations are what the expectations are. The reality is he's a 17-year-old point-a-game player playing on a regular basis against older talent. And it's a test for him. And to me, is he passing the test with an A++ grade? No. But that's okay. If he's just a B-level player, let's say, right now, but that's he's on the climb. It's getting better and better with each game as he gets used to things. So, you know, you wonder if he was still back in Medicine Hat and he had, I don't know, 65 points in 30 games, would he be some remarkably better player than he is now? I don't think so. I think it's good that he's testing himself. I think it shows that he's taking that chance to go to this level and to try and to play and to push himself and still average a point a game. So did he meet your random expectations? That's in your opinion. I'm going to judge by what I see on the ice. And what I see is a guy who, youngest player, one of the five youngest players in NCAA hockey, he's averaging a point a game on a top 15 team in the country with legitimate NCAA championship hopes. He is a play driver for them. Is he the play driver for them? Probably not. But they have some older kids who are, you know, more conditioned to that NCAA schedule, who were, again, a Frozen Four team last year. He's adding to that group. He's not subtracting anything from what they're trying to do, and he certainly isn't a lesser player for going through this process. To me, until I see otherwise, like, World Juniors is going to be the big test, right? Because you'll see him there against kids, players his own age, and you're going to see how he handles himself against, you know, the Ivar Stenbergs. You know, how does he compare to what Keaton Verhoeff's able to do? You know, all the other kid, the draft-eligible players who are going to be at World Juniors, how does he stack up against them? Then you can make the decision and say, okay, maybe he's not the world beater that we all thought he would be. Is he still a top five talent? 100%. Let's give it some time and then make the decision and watch the games and see where he is and what he is and what he's able to do. Then we'll see.
Yeah, I think the big thing you said there too was he wanted to test himself. That was something that obviously was on McKenna's, you know, agenda when he made the move to Penn State. And he wanted to make sure he was going somewhere in his draft-eligible season that would not only test him physically, but mentally too. He'd have to learn the role that he's playing right now. And right now it's a third-line role. There are injuries. There's some adversity that he's facing at Penn State. And how is he going to withstand that? How is he going to get through it? And we're watching that now. Look, he's still putting up some points. And as you said, Adam, I do think World Juniors is going to play a big role. Now, has Keaton Verhoeff played exceptionally well so far? Yes, he's playing a top-pairing role. He's getting big minutes on special teams. You know, and North Dakota is playing well. But look, he's a big right-shot defenseman. I think a lot of teams are going to like that. It may come down to positional need, and we always say that, no matter how good or bad players might be at the top of the draft. It always might come down to a decision of a position, if that's where you're weak at. But to me, I still think Gavin McKenna is the player on everyone's wish list of this draft class. Now, if things kind of shift come World Juniors, if Keaton Verhoeff somehow finds a way to make this team and have an impact, then maybe we can start shifting our opinions for that. And look, this is my own opinion. It's how I feel. I know it's how you feel. But to me, McKenna hasn't worked himself out of that role as that number one pick in this draft so far. It's just a matter of him learning it, learning the position, learning what he needs to do to become an even better player. That's why he went to Penn State, and that's what I intend to see.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the NCAA scoring list right here, and you know how many freshmen I see with more points than Gavin McKenna? None. So he's doing something right. He's still going to be a top-line guy at World Juniors, right? Like, I envision him having a World Juniors similar. I wouldn't be surprised if he did something similar to what Connor Bedard did. And I know that was record-setting and all that, but there's nothing that says he can't do that. He has that level of talent. He's just being pushed in a way that he's not used to being pushed. Now, if Keaton Verhoeff comes out and has a tournament like Cole Hudson did last year, right, where he's the leading scorer the entire tournament as a defenseman, well, then maybe there is some discussion there. But if Gavin McKenna plays the way Gavin McKenna is capable of playing, and Canada plays the level we think they're going to play at, he is going to be the reason. I'll put it this way. The World Juniors, if Gavin McKenna is healthy, Canada is the favorite to win the gold medal. And Canada is the favorite to win the gold medal because Gavin McKenna is going to be a top-line player on that team.
Yeah.
To me, if all of those things flow and all those things go the way logic says they'll go, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft.
And the other thing I want to add real quick to that, Adam, is the fact, and we spoke about this a little bit earlier, you know, college hockey has become really strong this year. A lot of teams are competitive. You're seeing the race for number one in the men's national poll. It kind of changes. The parity among all these teams is incredible. They each of them have some, you know, real good, high-caliber, talented players in their lineup. So is it going to be tough? Was it supposed to be this tough for Gavin McKenna? Yeah, yeah. You mentioned it. As a 17, 18-year-old, it's going to be more difficult. He's not going to, you know, ease his way into scoring, you know, 30-plus points and 15-plus goals over the first month of the season. So, but I believe this is going to benefit him down for the long haul. And I think we're going to see an even better Gavin McKenna come World Juniors. And maybe that'll even catapult him, Adam, second half of the season as Penn State makes that push for the Frozen Four.
Absolutely. And it's going to be something worth watching. And there's a lot that we're going to be able to watch as we lead up to the 2026 NHL Draft, starting here with the CHL USA Top Prospects Challenge. And we will be watching. You can follow along with us here at NHL Draft Class. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.